Welcome, ladies and gents. I'm Lana, joining you for the next hour. For this time, this interview is only available in audio format. My guest is Birgitte Weissmann, a woman in Germany who has a lot to say about current politics in Germany. It's not often we get to hear from Germans, mostly because of language, but also some fear speaking out since Germany has become so volatile against those not in line with the agenda of multiculturalism and open borders. Basically, not in line with the destruction of the German ethnicity and culture. Birgitte is active and vocal in Germany, speaking and networking with others opposed to this agenda. She'll give us more insight into what the common German folk really think and why Germany is a specific target by globalists. We'll weave in many aspects along the way, so stick around. Birgitte, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
So tell us a bit about your background and what you do in Germany for people who aren't familiar with you.
My background is European American. I grew up in the States and returned back to Europe with my parents. And my father was transferred to France, and he was with the military. And in France, I went to an international American international school, and I'm still connected with my high school buddies over Facebook. Facebook made it possible. And then I came to Germany. I had a scholarship with the University of Maryland, and they had a University of Maryland here in Munich, a sister university. So here in Munich, I studied. I really wanted to go in the diplomatic corps, and after four semesters, well, that was the 60s, and I got married and had a boy a year later then. So, and I stayed living in Germany and visited my parents almost yearly with the kids and with the husband, and so I've always been connected with the States.
Now, how is your experience? How would you compare America versus Germany? What are the huge differences?
Let's say the difference between Europe and the States. I think it's a huge difference because here the ethnic Europeans are still the majority, and you do not live in subdivisions. You live just in the normal city.
Yeah, I know. I hate those suburbs too. They're so ugly.
Yeah, here it's just, you might live next to a multimillionaire engineer, just a normal, wonderful housewife, and that's how I raised my kids. We lived in a very nice area in Germany, in Munich, and my kids, I never had to worry when they went to the woods, it was just totally peaceful, and people you could discuss with them politically everything. Even now, still, it's very much possible. As I went back to the States, you couldn't discuss politics, not a whole lot. And it was good that I went back as I was a grown up, because the States always still had this air of being very special. But as we had lived there for over a year, my kids kept asking me, well, where's this United States where you grew up in?
Yeah, exactly. It's not so special anymore.
It's not so special anymore. And I always had to tell them, it doesn't exist really anymore, you know. And there, if you didn't live in the right subdivision, then you knew your kid wouldn't be going to the right school. And next thing, you wouldn't be able to sell the house for the price or you couldn't upgrade the house and get more money for it either. I mean, you really have to be very careful in the States in which area you live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And America is definitely more materialistic, and it's only become more so. And I think it's because people are cut off from their ethnic roots, whereas Germany still has a strong culture and a bond with the people there. It's not as materialistic in Europe as America. I think that kind of is the one thing that binds them, is the materialism in a sad way. You know, they shop in the same stores. That's it.
Exactly. And that's a given. The thing is, what one German said to me, and I didn't realize that, they said, it's the Calvinistic view of things. And I said, what do you mean with the Calvinistic view? I just learned this, you know. And he said, well, Calvinists, they judge each other on how much money or material things they've been able to attain. And then they have been good people. If you're a good person, you attain lots of money, and then you are something special. And I said, oh, is it so? He said, yeah, Calvinists, they judge you on what you've been able to attain and what you have. And that's then you're also godly, you know. And it's totally against the thinking I have, you know. I mean, I think material things might be important, but I really do believe that we need to go back to the roots and think, if we once nature has been ruined, I mean, you know, money you can't eat, but, and nature sustains us. And I had the same discussion yesterday at the University of Passau, where some young people said, well, because I said, yeah, we're 82 million, and one young man said, yeah, well, we could be double that. We can feed them all. And I said, listen, I mean, that's, do you just want to eat a pill later in life or what? You know, people don't realize how important the equilibrium is between nature and human beings and so on.
Oh, yeah, I understand that completely. It's very, very important. Now, I wanted to see in Germany, you know, it's very left, but you're saying in a lot of ways it's actually it was easier there politically to have conversations versus America today. Now, tell us how Germany has changed in the time that you've lived there.
Radically. I came back in 93, and about 2 years later, I worked in, as before I went to the States, I worked for a very, how can you say, pretty famous market research company. And due to that fact, I've always observed very well. And 2 years later, after I returned from the States to Germany, I went through the city, and then there was this young man who was talking about Islam and collecting signatures to stop the huge building of a mosque in the middle of Munich. And it interested me very much. I had a conversation with the guy, and he said, yeah, if you want to help us, you're welcome to do so. And so I joined that group, and we collected over almost 70,000 signatures that this mosque can't be built in the middle of the city of Munich. And we were able to stop it for now. And I still know this young man who's quite well known. He also is writing a book right now. And we noticed the change. It was a pretty quick change, really. I remember coming back in 2002. And I went through the city, and then it was still rather safe to go through the middle of the town. And then later, you noticed it pretty immediately, like, let's say, in a time frame of 2 to 3 years, you noticed the change of the inner city. And in 2015, we had this huge influx of Africans coming, and people from the Balkan and Syria and so on. So from the year 2002 till, let's say, 2015, which is a time range, I think it's a short time range, and things changed considerably, that we all of a sudden had loads of Muslims, and when we did a demonstration, which we did weekly, then young Muslim girls would say to us, hey, why don't you just go home? You guys are so old, and we're going to birth you out of your country. Mm-hmm. And how do you look? You know, of course, all of us women aren't any Gucci women. We're hands-on women. And they would also tell you, yeah, you know, we're allowing you to build your churches. Why, you know, so we can, why can't we build mosques, you know?
Jeez. So yeah, it's amazing how rude and in your face and hateful they are. It's just outrageous.
Yeah, they're actually very hateful, I find, you know, because we're kuffars for them. You know what a kuffar is.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so we're really not worth their attention. And the bad thing is what I've noticed, that we also have a lot of African women who do the same game. The same game.
Exactly. I was going to say the problem isn't just Islam. People always say, oh, it's Islam. But no, there's all kinds of non-German, non-Europeans of all variety that are coming into Germany and causing trouble. Right.
Yeah, but I have to admit, it's the majority are Islamic.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. The thing is, I think what Germans might be coping with is that they cannot understand that you have a chancellor lady who is not for her citizens. She has turned from being moderate to being a person who has set aside all laws. And for example, we have the Dublin Treaty, which means if someone, let's say, comes from Syria and he hits the first country, he has to stay in that country.
Exactly.
He cannot possibly come to Germany. But Merkel has broken all these laws, and we have now, let's say, maybe, I don't quote me exactly, but it's about at least 1.2 million people who have never shown a passport. And I had a project in the Middle East, so I know a lot of these people have several names. Sometimes I would even ask them, well, what's your real name now, you know? And then all of a sudden they weren't Mohammed, but they were Ali, whatever, you know. And it's very difficult to pinpoint them down with the name. So all of a sudden we have 1.2 million people who we really don't know who they are. And many are underage, quote unquote, we're not allowed to check that out if they're really underage. Like we had now in a city called Kandel, a very beautiful little town. This young girl, 15 years old, was together with a young Muslim, and it was stated that he's underage, and she had an affair with him, and then she wanted to sever the relationship. And he knifed her down in a drugstore.
Yeah, I heard about that. Now, wasn't there a march against that? Or the real women's march, right?
Right. And they're having another one on the 3rd of March. And we have already a project where we might want to have these kind of demonstrations in many cities at the same time, the same day, same time. And see how many people we can get on the streets.
Now, these marches, what would they focus on? The, you know, rape and violence against women by migrants?
Yeah.
Or, okay. Yeah.
Definitely that, because this is okay, you know, you have in Islam, you also have the Alawites, who are very liberal in their thinking. And, yeah, they don't cause any problems. They also agree with the with the laws of Germany. They also signed that they agree to follow these laws, but all the other Muslims don't.
Now, I want to back up a little bit, because if you watch mainstream media, you think that all of, you know, Germans, that they welcome the invasion, they're celebrating becoming a minority in the country their ancestors built. But is that really true? What does your average German person really feel? Because we never hear anything from them here in America,
okay.
especially.
The average German person is certainly conservative. Yeah, they That's are good. Conservative. They're conservative. They do not want what is happening these days. But the unfortunate thing is that Merkel, being East German, we now have the fascists here, which surprised me absolutely that we have that many in the States as well, that the fascists determine how we are supposed to think and how we're supposed to act. And the fascists are also being supported by the government. There are hundreds of organizations who support the fascists. And I told my groups, I said, or our groups, I say, if we want some kind of support, we don't get it, of course. We have to organize our own financial support.
Now, wasn't Merkel a communist?
Yeah,
because I wouldn't call her fascist. I would definitely call her communist, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know. I call them the neo-Bolsheviks.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good term for them.
Yeah, that's what I call them. And as we know very well, in Russia, millions died while they were forcing communism on the people.
That is correct.
Yeah. And it's a sad story, and it's the same here now. They have really they've manipulated our young people. I mean, the 68, the generation from the 1968, that's partially even now their grandkids who are at the universities. And I noticed it yesterday at the University of Passau, how indoctrinated they are.
Now, do you think this really is post-World War II? I mean, I know Germans that get hit with Holocaust guilt, I mean, constantly. Yeah. And I think that might be a big reason as to why a lot of Germans, they're afraid to be nationalists. They're afraid to defend their own people because they're told it's wrong, it's evil, it's going to lead to the Holocaust. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, the majority of Germans, I mean, like the conservative group says, yeah, it happened, but that doesn't make us want to change all of a sudden and accept everything. But the left wingers, they are definitely at the point, yes, we did the Holocaust, and of course we're reminded of it almost daily. Yeah, the Holocaust happened, and in school the kids have been indoctrinated with it, you know. But lots of Germans say now, well, it's not only us where something has happened. It's also Britain and France, many other countries. But
of course, there isn't just one Holocaust here. A lot of people have died in a lot of different wars, you know, and time periods.
But the Germans, I can honestly say now, I think the Germans, because, you know, I've gone off and on to Germany, back to the States, lived in France, lived in England, been to Scandinavia. And I think the Germans are, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's one of the very few countries where you have a social economics. That means, like in Germany, you had families, they would always, like Siemens, Steiff, all these big companies, Krupp, they would build houses for the families, for the workers, and people have sick leave, people have a 6 weeks paid vacation. That's nowhere else to be found. I mean, you had a social economics in for example, in Iraq, you didn't pay for education. Also in Libya, you know, and you had all these amenities that you never, never, ever had in the States. I mean, my mom worked in the States, and I never forget, after 10 years or something, she had 2 weeks paid vacation.
Yeah, and then you pay a lot of taxes, and you don't get anything. You know, you have to pay high bills for medical and for school, and retirement's expensive. Germany definitely did it right. They did it right. You know, they knew how to take care of families and children and mothers, and they did something that no one else did. And I think for that, they were almost resented by a lot of globalists.
Thank you. You know? Thank you. That's exactly very well said. It's resented because what they want is that citizens have to strive. They want everybody to be on their toes and not to be able to relax. I mean, in the States, it's just amazing. I mean, that's a topic we could do a pajama party and talk all night about it. That's the problem what the United States has done. It has ruined all these amenities. Also in Iraq, I met Iraqis and they said, we had free medical, we had free university, women were very free, you didn't see any scarves, nothing, and then came the United States and ruined everything.
The same was in Syria as well. They had a pretty good social system as well, which Assad had set up.
and I have a girlfriend, a Syrian girlfriend. She lives in Stuttgart, and she always tells me, what's going on in Syria. And she just last year she went there and she said, Birgit, they're only in a couple of places. There is actually war, but the major area of Syria is. There's nothing, you know, people by the beaches, they go party and have, you know, they do their normal life thing.
Exactly. And so why are they coming up to Europe? Well, we know a large portion of them aren't Syrians, but there are quite a few Syrians coming.
Well, because Germany, I think the New World Order wants to just destabilize all these wonderful countries. And they've done that here. I mean, the Germans are paying very high taxes, which they are not. They don't profit from those high taxes.
I feel like Germany is really being picked on. Like, you know, globalists again want to make an example. If they want to destroy nationalism, if they want to destroy, you know, ethnic European countries, you know, we keep hearing about, Europe isn't a white area. There shouldn't be any white countries anymore. It's white supremacy. Well, you're starting to get that in Europe too, although it's been where our ancestors have been for thousands of years.
Exactly. Well, you know, Barbara Spector Lerner.
Oh, Very familiar.
Well, that's exactly the Hutton plan, everything. That's what's happening. And then one thing really makes me a bit uneasy is that German women are very prone to want to marry black guys. I mean, it's not like I'm not a racist in the sense of being, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. That's right. I mean, people do fall in love. People of different races. It happens all the time. But let's be honest. What's happening with German women is all propaganda. They're being encouraged to mix out, to not have German children anymore. And that's what's so evil about it.
And the thing is, I always say, listen, hey, we've got a whole bunch of Turks. And I have Turkish friends. But you will never, ever really see a Turkish woman with a black guy.
No, it's true.
You will never, ever see that. Never, ever. It's they're so proud of their heritage, but it's been taken from the Europeans. Even in France, I've got French relatives, and I've gone to near Chartres, and the first thing I noticed is they actually have the same situation as we do here. And England is really bad. I mean, I've been to England loads of times. And the first time I went back, coming from the States, I was invited to a big birthday party in Birmingham. And I went downtown. I started crying. I cried. I was so shocked. I said, this isn't England. This is Kolkata.
It's so sad. But you know, every time I get kind of black-pilled, as we say, I get really down about it. I just think everything can be reversed. All of these people can be repatriated. And ultimately, that's what's going to have to happen if we want Europe to remain European. What do you think? I mean, isn't it all about the politicians and the policies that we create?
Yeah, definitely. This is what makes us, the conservative movement. This is what makes us, or gives us the energy to say, yes, we can change things. And once you're back in Europe and you see all these most wonderful women, great women, as if you were now in Berlin and the patriotic movement. I mean, these people, they're just so wonderful. It's like in early times, if you remember, you had the tribal thinking. Mm-hmm. And in Africa, of course, you still have it. But here, the tribal thinking has taken place for, New World Order. But these patriots, they still have this thinking. I mean, like, if you're in need, they'll be there for you. It's
like just a family.
It touches me. I tell you, I have a contact to Schwerin up in the north of Germany, and they always ask me to come up to do party work up there for the AFD, Alternative for Germany. And then they provide everything. They say, we're just glad you're working with us, and I love to go on the street and talk to people, so the patriots are just amazing. It really touches me.
Oh yeah, I've experienced that too with nationalists across European countries. They are the most warm and generous and giving, and that is something that we have to offer a lot of people, a true sense of community, which I think has really been destroyed by globalism and leftism. You know, it's ruined those bonds that we have. And now multiculturalism is coming in and making us even more distant and farther apart. Now, you said earlier that a lot of Germans are actually more conservative. Yeah. I just wonder, how is it that Merkel was reelected after all the damage she's done? But she's actually considered conservative, right?
Well, no.
No, okay.
Not anymore. Yeah. But I always tell the people, listen, it's not the people who voted her. I mean, you vote, and then the votes are being counted.
Well, that's true.
And
counting,
you know what can happen with the counting.
Yes.
And I've been observer. I've been invited to observe when they count. And okay, I did not notice any kind of. I didn't notice any, but I have had friends who said, "Oh, they manipulated here and they manipulated there." And then often enough, if the envelopes go into this box, you don't know what happens afterwards. And so I always tell them, listen, no, it's not the majority. It's all manipulation. Really, I tell the patriots, don't be sad. At the end of the day, we're going to be more than the others.
I think so, too. I think it's only increasing. I think it was just yesterday I saw there was a poll, and AFD in Germany is the second most popular party now.
Yeah, right. The Socialist Party. I mean, all these parties have just lied to the population. They're full of lies, you know. And the Greens. I mean, the Greens are. I call them. I don't know if what you would call that in the States, patokratie, which means they're psychologically not in order.
Yeah, just insane.
Disorder.
They're insane communists. I know it's like that in Sweden, too. They're just full-on insane communists.
Exactly. I mean, look at what they've done to Sweden.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, it's a lot of women in that party, you know? And these feminists always think that, women are going to make everything better. Well, look at what Merkel's doing. Look at what Theresa May's doing. Look at in Sweden.
There's this little movie about women. I posted it, but it always disappears again. They take it out. But it's women ruin nations, honestly. And I don't feel like it doesn't. I don't see it as criticism for myself. But in general, especially here in Germany, or even in honestly in Scandinavia, I mean, you have a woman as a for the forces. Here we've got this little petite woman. I mean, one day she does the forces, you know, like the army, and then the next 1 year she was family minister. The next time it's like, you know, one day I'm the butcher and the next day I'm the diplomat. I mean, hey, you know, they push around these positions as if it was a chessboard.
Yeah. Oh, and it is to them. It is to them. I will say, though, I think there are some female politicians in some Eastern European countries that are actually much more nationalistic. I think it's more of Western and Northern European women for some reason. Those politicians tend to be very more left.
Yeah, I don't know any. But, you know, the thing is, women can, at least in our patriotic movement, we don't have women who go against women. But in the left-wingers, the left-winger women, they're polled totally different. Their view of, like yesterday, it was like this one young woman, she said, the German language has to be genderized, you know. And she definitely, if you say, in Germany, you say to doctor, Arzt. And when you say Arzt, then I think of men and women. But no, she said, you always have to say Arzt and Ärztin, you know, meaning you have to use the genderized language. And one guy said, why are you upset if we don't use it? And she said, yes, I want this genderized, you know, and that kids know that there are three or four genders, you know.
Oh, geez, her life is way too easy. I know they're pushing that crap everywhere now in the West. Ugh, it's just...
You can say it is crap. It's really, and then when you think, I mean, you've got now a little boy, yeah? And you go like, for the boys, I mean, I love the little boys, you know? I mean, I love little girls, but since I had a son and a grandson, and I think nowadays they're discriminating against the men and the boys.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, especially the little European boys. And I've seen some stories that have just broke my heart about these little German boys in school, and they're getting picked on by these migrants and these Muslims. And it's just awful to see when they don't defend themselves. It's like they're not taught to fight back. Like it's wrong for them to fight back. It's awful.
Oh, the pacifists.
So they're being taught that somewhere.
But honestly, Lana, I have to tell you, my son, he was born in 67. And as he came to school in 73, he first went to a Montessori school, and 4 years later he had to go to public school. And it was in the middle of here in Munich, in the city, in the middle of the city. And he was very blonde and blue-eyed, and he came home every day crying. Because he said the Turkish kids, they called him everything under the sun, and they would pull on his hair and say, oh, let's see if that's the real hair, you know. And he couldn't even go to the bathroom. I mean, he cried all the time. We had to take him out of the school then. And that was already in 73, 74, 75.
Awful.
And my son has a speech defect. So we always said, well, why can't he get also speech therapy in school? Well, no, they said only the immigrants can get that, not our kids. So that was already in the 70s when you it's incredible.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Now, are parents organizing in the schools right now? I mean, is there any kind of pushback to what's going on in the schools? Well, I mean, I've seen some areas where, you know, German kids are a minority in the classrooms.
Yeah, the German people are right now, lots of them, as soon as they go into this conservative mode, excuse me, but then... and if they criticize, then they often have to be afraid that they're going to be admonished, or the kids are going to be, how can you say, they'll have a disadvantage because of that. I mean, and lots of people are losing their jobs. I mean, I did the Pegida here in Munich. I organized it, and I did it 15 months, but I could only do it because I was already in pension.
So are you? Do you have some kind of protection with your pension? I mean, they won't cancel that out because of some crazy...
No, they can't. No, that's something I've earned, and that they couldn't do. I mean, that would be really...
Yeah.
But lots of people would lose their jobs, so I always told them when they come to Pegida, they have to, you know, wear a hat and sunglasses or whatever. I had women there, they'd wear wigs, you know, and the sunglasses, so they wouldn't be recognized.
So it's like America, there's no protection, basically, for your political views. They can just fire you whenever they want and ice you out of society.
It's not that easy here in Germany because we don't have hire and fire.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if it's a left-winger company, they can easily fire you, let's say, or they have to give you a notice. I mean, they can't be fired from one day to the next. To the next. Definitely not. But they might get a severance or whatever, but and then they're out of a job, and then trying to get a job again. We were trying to make get an organization together that we could place these people again into other jobs, but we haven't been able to do that because of lack of finances.
Yeah, see, we need more companies that are on our side, more nationalists that can hire people so that there's a safety net for those people. It seems like for some reason the left just dominates business everywhere.
It is. I mean, these women, I always say lots of Muslim women and lots of these left-wingers, they've got hair on their teeth. You say that in Germany. You know, they are so belligerent. They're absolutely belligerent. They have nothing soft about themselves, nothing.
Now, let's talk about the free speech laws. Germany, I know, is doing some crazy stuff to censor social media. There's, laws claiming people like us are inciting hate. How bad is it?
Very bad. Like on Facebook, when I use keywords, I mean, I wanted to be a diplomat, so I'm always diplomatic. But sometimes you have to use keywords, and then I put a minus. You know, in one word, I might have three minuses in between. So they can't catch that word, you know, through the logarithm or whatever you call that. So I changed the word a bit. Yeah, so they can't block you, you know. I mean, I also have an account with VK, but the thing is, you only have so many hours in a day, and I go far too late to bed and get up far too early, you know. And then if you've done like something like the Pegida, I've got so many people. I mean, I think it's absolutely a must that you're there for the people. I did the Pegida because I wanted to be there for the people,
Now, is it growing? Is Pegida growing and getting more popular? How many people come?
No, unfortunately, after 15 months, I quit on it because I left it then because the team was not the way I really... wanted it. I wanted to do Pegida only once a month, every first Monday, and they wanted to continue doing it every week. And I just didn't have the energy nor the time, you know, also every week to get the speakers. But in Dresden, for example, of course, there are 20,000 people, and they actually live from the money, you know, the being given. So, but here in Munich, it wasn't enough, and I wouldn't have wanted to live off of that money either. And I said, after 15 months, the AfD came, and I said, okay, then I'm going to go in that direction. I'm not a party member because I voted Donald Trump, but how can I say? I suppose I'm well known enough that people will call me and ask me for my expertise, and I gladly give it, and I won't stop not being active, you know. But just going on the street every week hasn't really changed much. I told the women what we need to do is do a demonstration on a same day, same time, in several cities, and try to organize that thousands go to these demonstrations. Thousands.
Exactly. And Dresden is such a powerful spot, too, considering the history. I mean, it was firebombed. I know there was 2 million innocent people that were murdered, essentially, you know, firebombs, with women and children that were killed. This was around World War II, of course, but questioning it or talking about it gets people in trouble, which is, it's just outrageous to me. But there was also mass rapes by communists in Dresden. I'm sure you're familiar with that, too.
Yeah, especially in Berlin. I heard that. The bad thing is, you know, what I think every nation has, has done things that shouldn't have been done, and it's never talked about. But also here, what the Germans cannot talk about is anything that pertaining to the war,
yeah,
or to the,
yeah,
Holocaust. And I've seen quite a few movies and so on. I mean, you know, you need to be really careful. You can say nothing, really. And the only thing, as I was in Hollywood, I met quite a few Jewish people, and then I heard from other people that a lot of these people do get reparation, but they've never been here in any kind of camp or whatever. So I go like, huh?
Yeah,
come on.
There's money to be. Germany is still paying out lots and lots of money.
Well,
for that.
And that's what one. It wasn't even a German who told me that, and we all know that books have been written about it. But it's a big business. It's a huge. Somebody told me that, Birgit. It's huge business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multi-million-dollar business. And the reason why I'm saying this now, you had mentioned it, is that, like, my American friends, someone told me, living in, I can't remember where, in Kentucky or so, and everywhere, even in small towns, you have a Holocaust.
Oh, it's everywhere. That's true. Every little small town has some kind of memorial for it.
Exactly. And so they said, it's a huge business. And do you think they want that business to be ruined? I go like, ooh, I didn't even know that, you know?
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
Most of the stuff I learned, even though my mom was French-German, my mom never spoke about, I mean, she was 17 as the war ended, and lots of the stuff I never even knew. I was over 50 to find out lots of these things.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, because you can question how many the communists killed or what happened during communist wars.
Yeah. You can talk about the communist war and what happened in Russia, but it's never mentioned. It's never mentioned that millions had been killed, 20 million, as much as I've heard.
At least, yeah, more like 60 to 80 million. Exactly. I have all Russian roots, so my family fled the Bolsheviks, so I know that history quite well.
There you go, see? And all of this I never knew, you know. I first found out as I lived here in Europe, and not from my parents-in-law, just from mainly now through all this movement. That's when I heard a lot of the truth. And I truly believe that if you can't question something, or if you can't even voice your doubt, that there must be something fishy about it.
That's just it. That is a red flag. It's the one area you can't question or criticize or even doubt. Then, wow, there must be something there. And in fact, I know there's been several elderly women who have been arrested in Germany for some kind of, I don't know if they call it denial laws or whatnot, but this has happened recently. There's been several women in Germany.
Yeah, you have this old lady, Haverbeck.
Yeah, and then there was Sylvia Stoltz, and there was another Madame.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
I met both.
Yeah.
By coincidence, I didn't know who they were, but the people told me who they were, and I was really shocked. I was shocked. It was all new to me, honestly. It was so new to me, and I know this 96-year-old man, very how can you say, educated. He fled to Sweden during the war. And he lives here and he writes a lot of books. And through him, I met this lady, and just very short. I didn't really talk to her, but I was able to give her, my hand. But he also says that you cannot talk about this topic, and he says it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed. People. Even German kids, I mean, they really believe that the Germans are bad people.
I
And
know.
this is why left-wingers say, never again Germany, away with Germany, away with the Germans, but there's Germans themselves,
Yeah, it's just amazing how self-hating they can be. So, what do you think is the solution to, undo years of this leftist brainwashing in Germany and really take it back?
How can we, I think what you have to do is like talk to people every day. At the university, like yesterday, in this discussion group, I said to myself, oh my God, how are you going to convince these young people to view another side? The young man who invited me, he was lovely. I mean, I didn't ask him in which direction, but I almost had a feeling he was more conservative than anything else. And he asked me also, please let's stay in contact. And I am. And I said, yes, let's do that. I said, let's say do to one another. And I think I want a young friend. I mean, he's my grandson's age, but there were three or four. They were pretty militant. They were militant,
Jeez.
militant, left-wing militants. And one lady, one young woman said to me, well, before I'd want to be friends like with me, I'd rather be friends with a Muslima. I mean, I wasn't in the discussion, I wasn't able to, be biased, but I would have loved to say to her, yeah, you'd be together with a Muslima with a scarf, she said. And I said, yeah, and you definitely can talk to her about your boyfriend and about, marriage and everything, I mean, no way. She could never talk to this woman about these kind of things. But that another very dangerous thing, and this is what also really makes me weary, is that Islam is pushing on our young people. I mean, you can, from one minute to the next, you can turn to be a Muslim.
Why do you think that is? Are they desperate to look for some kind of structure or authority? Have they been too liberal?
Yes, I truly believe this. That's what's missing. I mean, what is so important, like you having a family, is this is to say, we are a family, and without being a family and holding together, and I tell that always also to my grandson and also to our friends. I say family and friends. That's the nucleus. And without this nucleus, we cannot spread out because you need a safety feature. And the family and the friends are a safety feature. Yeah? They give you the strength to go out into this world and conquer the world,
Exactly. Yeah. You
But
can't do
if
it
you don't,
alone.
no. And I truly believe in the saying, no man is an island. No man is an island. Everybody. I mean, I'm a total group person. I mean, I always tell my ladies, and I know loads and loads of wonderful ladies, I say, listen, because they always say, oh, Birgit, you're so strong. I say, I'm only so strong as you guys are with me, behind me, and next to me.
Yeah, that
If I
makes
didn't
sense.
have you all, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't have this strength. And this is what we need to learn to. The conservative people to grow together again, to help one another, and like we had this, I mean, I've been called like in a village not far from Germany, from Munich, this older woman called me. Her son is a very famous doctor in England and in Ireland. And she calls me up and she says, oh, we're having, with the mayor, we're having a meeting. And the women who want to help the these new citizens, we call them, you know, they call them really here expert and Fachkräfte. I don't know, what would you call that in England, in English? I don't. Well, anyway, there's, you know, these people, they're specialists, working specialists. And she said, yeah, we're having a meeting. Would you come and support me? And I did. And there were 20 women, older women, and they were so eager to help these Africans and these Muslims.
Ugh, I know. I mean,
and then the lady said to me, do you know this lady? She told me behind her hand. She said, that lady, she's never done anything for her grandkids. But now she's so, oh my God, she's totally involved.
That's just it. It's just mind-boggling to watch. I mean, it's just like dealing with people in a cult or something. Yeah, there's been stories too of older women who have run off with some of these younger Africans and working in the refugee camps. They've left their husbands, left their children, and then of course they all get beaten or raped or something happens to them, you know. But they still don't learn the lesson.
Right, you know. And that's the this is exactly what has happened. That they all of a sudden they feel needed, and I go like, hey, why don't you help the single mother who has two kids? Well, it's not the same, and honestly, nothing has been for free. People have, like at the very beginning, as they had this wave of immigrants, these people said, come on, we're going to bring you into this. The German Bundesbahn, the railway, how do you call it, the railway company, they were providing food and everything for these people. So Patriots said, why don't you come and you can see what's going on? Well, they packaged food, and then afterwards, when it was packaged, the people threw it away.
It was,
yeah, you know. So what I did, what they had thrown away, fully packaged still, I brought it to the homeless.
Yeah, good. Exactly. Yeah.
I said, let me take it to the homeless. And they were really happy, you know. But they're not in dire need, honestly. A lot of these people who are coming, they have a house wherever they came
from.
Yeah,
they have their iPhones, new shoes. I've seen videos. They have stuff.
They have more money than, you know, like if I'd want to go to the States tomorrow, I wouldn't even have the money to buy a ticket to fly over to the States from one moment to the next because it's going to be very expensive.
Yeah.
I'd have to plan ahead at least a half a year so I can get a flight for 400, 500 euros. Well, they come from on the spur of the moment, and you probably know in Mexico you've got this very rich, he has the telephone company under his wings. He's a Libyan, but what's his name now? Now I can't think of it. Sure. But he mixes in this whole thing. He's given a lot of money. Then you also know the Ayn Rand Society.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they inherited my mom's money because my mom died before her second husband, and he donated it all to the Iron.
No, awful.
And in the States, you have no rights to try to get that money back because he made the will was destroyed. And so the Ayn Rand Society, these are all left-wing people. Carlos Slim is his name. Remember that name. They say he donates almost all of the cell phones to these people because afterwards they have these telephone cards in their cell phones, and the German taxpayer pays 2,000 euros a year so that this poor guy can use his drums, which is the cell phone, and drum to the homeland. pay here. This is great.
Yeah.
You get this
all these
much
benefits, and I get a free house and a car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like here where I live, they've built comfort homes for these people.
Jeez.
And they actually call them comfort homes.
Now, I heard they were also using people's vacation homes and saying that they had to offer them up. It was during, you know, the high wave of migrants that were coming in. France did the same thing, too, where they were literally putting migrants in people's lovely vacation homes in the countryside.
Well, that I didn't hear. But like if you take up a migrant, you get 4,000 euros a month.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, lots of these conservative people said, well, we could do that, but we can't because we've got a mirror at home. And, you know, we look at our face and we say, how could we? That's betraying your own.
Exactly.
Your own people.
Yeah, there's people that are getting rich from this migrant invasion. That's another
point.
Yeah.
They within 5 years, you've got that house paid off.
I have to ask you, because you're planning more, I want to talk a little more about the women's marches. I want to talk about prior to, you know, Germany's open border policy, what was Germany like for women? Was rape an issue?
No. I mean, we'd walk through the city at 2 a.m. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned it already. Well, anyway, I remember like in 2003, 2004, I can't remember exactly when it was, 2 a.m, all of a sudden I heard some Americans, and I said, hey, you guys, where are you from? And they go like, oh, geez, Louise, there's an American. So then we talked, and they said, what are you doing here in the middle of the night, here in the middle of the city? And I go like, why, what am I doing? I'm going home. Well, aren't you afraid? Aren't you scared? I go like, why should I be scared? I always, when I go out late at night, I walk through the city to get to my car, and they were amazed at that, you know. I mean, it's not like we, you know, in Germany, you don't ever have any kind of crime, but then I always say, well, then it's German crime.
Exactly.
Yeah, but now we've got
Importing. You're importing in it. I know. I hear so many feminists say that, too. Well, German men rape, too, so they make excuses for these migrants.
Exactly. They said the same thing yesterday. They said the worst is when a man rapes his wife. That's the worst, and that's the most, that's the biggest crime. I didn't say anything to this. I said, how sick in your mind can you be?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like blaming your father being a rapist. Incredible.
It is. It's mind-blowing. Yeah. Now, what I've noticed with a lot of these feminists, when you bring up rape and violence done by migrants, they'll say, oh, well, that's right-wing propaganda. Do they do that in Germany, too, when you bring these things up? How are you being treated for bringing up this topic?
Well, that how am I treated? I'm treated as being a liar. You know, it's not true, they say. You're lying and you're using it for your advantage. And I go like, the thing is, we had just a really big thing is that this Syrian, they brought him a TV series report about this Syrian, almost 30 years old, and he was able to bring his two wives, and one wife is 13 years old.
Sick.
And she's now 14 and has her first baby. And people are so upset about this now. It just happened. I can send, but it's in German, but I could send you the report. It's just amazing. And people are going like, how can German law allow this? And now he's talking already. He doesn't work. He doesn't know how to read, write. He doesn't know how to work. He wants to take care of the kids and the women. And German taxpayer pays.
Yeah, and then he'll have like 15 kids.
Oh, easily. They always tell you, listen, I have four wives and I've got 60 kids. I mean, when you think Osama bin Laden was the 72nd child of this one man.
Sick.
How can you?
Well, that's why they have problems with inbreeding, too. They can't keep track of who's getting with who.
I mean, how can only dumb people can think that their genes are so important.
I know. We're, you know, Europeans are more into quality over quantity. But speaking of which, why are Germans not having kids? Why are they not having as many? Is it because they're being told to hate themselves, or what's going on there?
No, because they can't afford them. I mean, two kids is, it costs you a lot of money. I mean, the kid, the money you get for the child is 200 euros, yeah, for each child. So if you have two kids, you have 400 euros extra. That's nothing. In these days, it's nothing. And that's why we say, like in Turkey, you only get 30 euros per child. 30 euros. Now you know why we have so many Turks here.
Yeah.
Exactly. And besides, they collect here. I've just read anyway, even Africans, they collect in different states. They collect in Sweden. They collect in Germany. They collect in France. And when you see sometimes Africans, they of course, they have to always have brands, even in the States. Blacks love brands.
Adidas, Nike. Oh, yeah. Very tacky.
Yeah. BMW, Mercedes. It can't be just a normal Toyota.
Which is so funny because they'll hate on white people, but they love all the things that we make, of course. You know.
That's sad. Yeah. In the States, I mean, I say in 20 years, the States is a South Africa.
Yeah, and it's heading there, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is, really. I mean, my daughter worked in the film industry, and she said this really when there were shows and blacks were in charge. She and her girlfriend were always the last to be taken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and she said, why are they? I mean, my daughter at the time was 21, and she already had the baby, which was lovely. And she said, why can they wear a T-shirt saying black is beautiful? And if I wear a T-shirt saying white is beautiful, I'm a racist.
That's just it. You know, but there is starting to be pushback amongst a lot of the younger generations here. I think there are a lot of young white males who are kind of getting sick of this junk.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, there is a movement that's arising, but I think it's just such a mess in America that it's probably going to lead to some kind of, you know, separatist groups that are going to,
yeah,
you know, it's a huge landmass. So I think that they should just divide it up personally because there's so many people that just don't get along anymore. It's never going to work.
Well, Lana, that's what I say in the States. That's the nice thing. It's big enough. You can separate, you know.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, the northeastern states, they're going to be mainly white, you know, and the Midwest, and then the South will be black. But, you know, even the Americans have been lied to so much, so much. I mean, when you go like Lincoln, it was all a scam. It was a scam. It wasn't to free the slaves.
Oh, I know. Yeah. The Civil War had nothing to do with slavery. Exactly.
Exactly. It was only about money.
Yep.
Because the Southerners, and I tell you, there my heart bleeds, I tell you, because I grew up in the North. And going back to the States, I lived in the South. And honestly, I think the Southerners, the ethnic Southerners are just, they're lovely. They're just gorgeous people.
Yeah, I love mean, the South.
Yeah, are so just wonderful. I met great people down there, really. But the whites work like crazy. If they're sick, they get nothing. I mean, they have a hard drive through the Blue Ridge Mountains.
I've done it. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. But the hillbillies, they're poor. They're really poor people. And they've been kept poor. And then now they're getting the coal out of West Virginia and, you know, and all these places. I mean, these people.
Well, they should just cash in on their white privilege, you know, just use their white privilege card. I'm teasing.
You know, I grew up, my mom always said, you know, white trash knows white's white trash. But black people, they don't know that they're, excuse me, yeah, but that they're black trash.
No, they're kings. Yeah. They're always kings.
Yeah. And that's the way I grew up. I remember my mom taking me to the shacks and she said, Birgit, look. She said, do you see what's up on the roof? And they had a huge antenna. And then she said, and look, the car they're driving, it was Cadillacs.
Yeah, they live in a shack, but they have a big screen TV and a new car. Right?
And that's how I grew up, you know. And I remember them having, now I'm very glad I never ate the steaks. And please be careful eating meat in the States. It's full of hormones. And
oh, yeah, I know. I'm big on the organic diet, grass-fed, local, yeah. And that's one thing I love about Germany. Germany, I buy a lot of products from there. A lot of my non-toxic organic products comes from there. Even baby yeah. stuff. The food is done well. I mean, Germany yeah. is really cutting edge that way.
It's ethical. And this is one thing where I say the Germans are very ethical in whatever they do. I mean, you know, I'm a mix. I'm French, German, Dutch, British, and yeah. So I've got all this in me. But often enough, I notice I can be bohemian like the French. But in you know, in whatever I do, I'm very methodical, very exact, and like I would never tell somebody, well, like if I cook and tell them, I would never tell them this is organic if it wouldn't be.
Mm.
I could.
Yeah, because you're honest. You tell the truth.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. And Germans in general, you know, they are like that. And as I went back to the States, I did lots of business in Germany. I worked for, as I said, for big companies. And I always had my money on my bank account. I got to the States. I opened a business. A year later, I said, oh, my God, the Americans are the Arabs of the West. Really?
Yeah.
I was so shocked. I had to run after my money and everything. I had to fight for everything. You know, the business, I even had two American black ladies working for me. They were lovely, lovely. But we were so scared to employ anybody when we hoped not a fat lady would come and we would say, no, we can't take you. And then she might take us to court.
Yeah.
You know?
Lawsuits. Lots of frivolous lawsuits here.
Yeah, you've got so many lawyers. They all have to earn a buck, you know. I was very happy. I found in Atlanta, I was with the business organization there. So I've met a lady. She was German. Her name was also Birgit. And she was a lawyer. And we actually did have then a problem with a company. And luckily, I had met her, and she helped us. And we did get then at the end the money that this guy owed us. But I was lucky to have her. Otherwise, I would have spent a fortune.
Yeah, lots of scam artists here. Well, Birgit, is there any words of hope you can give to people listening? People that are looking at, you know, the migrant invasion, multiculturalism, all this anti-white programming. What words can you leave with people?
Definitely not to give up. And to always think you can mobilize your kind of people who think like you. And there's so many out there. And there's so many out there that don't know that there are people like them out there. We have to talk to people. And I notice it every time I go somewhere and I notice maybe a slight gesture where I go like, oh, here I could maybe tell that person something.
I do that too, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel then, it, like, okay, let's plant a seed right now, right?
And then all of a sudden you've got a new friend, you know?
Yep.
He goes like, what, you really know other people? I go like, yeah. So, and I always have my business, my activist card with me, with my name and telephone number and my email. And they go like, oh, my goodness, thank you so much. And that's why I'm very often on the phone. I tell them, don't give up. There's so many out there, and we need to just get the movement going. And I think we should never give up. I mean, if I always tell people, if our ancestors would have given up, we wouldn't be here.
That's right. That's right.
You know, Islam came to France. Islam was in Spain, in France, where we were able to drive them back, in Vienna. And now, of course, Islam is doing it peacefully with birthing, and they tell you that, birthing us out of our countries. And this is why the money that they get for their kids needs to be capped. I think it has to be done over taxes. You know, like if you have two kids, this is what the AFD wants to do, then you pay, let's say, 50% less taxes. Because most Turkish people, they're not employed, many are not employed. Of course, I want to not put them all in the same category, because we have lots of Turkish, the Alevites, who work hard and want a peaceful life here in Germany. It's not like people are racist or anything. Germans have always been open-minded. I mean, I remember my mother telling me that her cousin had an African lady as a wife. And it was nothing special. I mean, she grew up in Hamburg, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, there's always going to be, even in a nationalist country, there's always going to be a percentage of, you know, non-ethnic Germans, for instance. But the point that we're talking about here is we want Germany to remain German. We want them to be the majority. That's the issue here. It's not going to be that there's not going to be, you know, a few minorities here and there.
But the thing is, once I always tell the Germans, once the Islam organizations and the black organizations, you know, once they're done with us, we will have no more chance. Like in the States, you can't say anything anymore, you know, about the minority, which my kids kept saying, minority? Where are they, the minority?
Yeah, exactly. They're the majority of the planet, most of these people.
Exactly. In Atlanta, when we went to some kind of party or any kind of exhibits, my kids always said, Mom, where are we, the minority?
Yes, lots of blacks
there. Where are we, the majority? You know, they would say. The thing is, we need to protect. I'm not ethnic. Europeans have a right to voice their customs, their traditional whatever. Yeah, you know, I mean, ethnic Europeans have their right to live on this planet just as much as anybody else. And I always say, Europe wasn't given for nothing to the Europeans. And I think the Europeans have done well with Europe as they have done it, you know. I mean, when I drive through Germany, France, England, you know, and you see the castles and you go like, I could start crying when I think of
it. Yeah, it's beautiful. Europe is so beautiful. I encourage a lot of American listeners, go to Europe, take a Mecca trip. It's just gorgeous. Gorgeous. And it would just be, and Germany in particular, it would be a massive loss to the world to not have German people on the earth after all the wonderful things Germans have brought us.
I agree. And I think it's high time I have quite a few friends who worked for Microsoft, you know, for Bill Gates. And they told me, you know, that he's very a tight swat with the money and so on. And I said, he could have done the best example of being so a social humanist, you know, like Germans would. The Americans always said to me, oh, are you a socialist? I said, no, I'm not a socialist, but I'm a humanist. And I tell you, we have a responsibility for the people who work for us. You know, that's our responsibility. And Germans have always taken that very serious through the centuries. I mean, even if you go to Augsburg and the Fokker, he built homes for the people who had nothing, and they only had to pay €1 per month for living in these houses.
And of course, the Volkswagen, right?
Yeah, you know, all these. I mean, and this is all in capitalism. I'm not against rich people, because we need the the person who drives people, you know, gives them the opportunities. But pure capitalism, it's just as bad as pure communism.
Yeah, exactly. And most of the capitalists today are just straight up leftists. And they are the globalists who want open borders. They don't care about replacing the population. They just want to sell more cheeseburgers or Pepsi or that's all they care about.
I mean, look in the States. I mean, even in the 70s, so many people were obese.
Oh, huge. They're huge. Yeah.
It's amazing. And who is at fault? Who is at fault? The food industry.
Yeah, and then the FDA, they just approve all these things. I mean, there's just so many corrupt government organizations now. You can't trust any of them.
Yeah. And so whatever you do, you need to be informed. I always tell people, read the alternative news. We have a very good newspaper called the Young Freedom newspaper, Die Junge Freiheit, and read up on it. And if you want to be connected, I'll connect you, because I know a lot of people. And also if you want to do an interview on Islam, I know the perfect people you could do it with who speak also English.
Yeah, that's great, because that's been my big thing, is trying to find people that speak English in Germany. I've been trying many times.
Quite a few. And I'm sure they'd be willing to talk to you. I mean, for us conservatives, the networking is really, I think, excellent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lots of networking, and that's when we can use social media. And also, there's certain node points, certain people that know a lot of other people, or there's good groups you can join. I know Identity Europa, or you can go to a Pegida meeting, or that's where people need to be networking and create their friends.
Definitely. It's high time that we do. The thing is, I always tell people one more thing is, I always say you have to remember three numbers, okay? The number, for example, 57, we know that there are 57 Islamic countries. Then, how often does Germany fit into Africa? Do you know?
Nope.
83 times. Europe fits 3 times into Africa. And then, if they're really on your side, I'd say, so, and now, could you tell me the percentage of ethnic Europeans worldwide? And they go like, I suppose 30%, and I go like, it's lower. 15, it's
like
lower.
7 or 8, I think.
6%.
6, yeah. That's right. We're a global minority, and a lot of European countries aren't that big. I mean, they're coming, and just millions of them. Look at Italy. Look at Greece. You think, France and Germany, they're big, but when the influx of people that are coming in, it's the space is going away, and also there's a lot of farmland, so there isn't that much land.
That's what I said yesterday in the group discussion. I said, how can you think Germany could take up double these people? And besides, I said, we can't save the whole world. And then I said, do you want to eat a pill, as food? Where are you going to get your food? Where's the nature?
Yeah, it's unsustainable. And that's why I wonder, where's all the environmentalists? I know Germany has a lot of them. They used to be against this kind of thing, overpopulation. But all of a sudden, for mass immigration, I mean, we know that that's awful for the environment and it's unsustainable in our countries. And yet no one says anything about it anymore.
Well, Lana, I exactly agree with what you said before. We need quality instead of quantity. And I honestly believe Germany could do with 50 million.
Poland, that's a good healthy stock.
Yeah. And in the States, as I lived in the States, I was involved with zero population growth. That means actually we just have to replace ourselves. Yeah. Of course, let's say one person. I know this wonderful lady here. She's got 10 kids, 10 beautiful children. So she's had kids for those who don't have kids. You know, like my son doesn't have any kids, unfortunately.
Aw.
Yeah, so, I think we do not need masses of people. And if you know the Georgia Guidestones, which I didn't know.
I've been there. I've seen them.
You were there? Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't even know about them. That's how oblivious I was of a lot of things. But coming to Germany and getting involved here, I've learned so much. I really learned what I should have learned maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. But anyway, it was all very, it was an impact for me. You know, all of a sudden I learned all of this stuff. I mean, Islam was for me a religion, you know. Now I know it's a system.
Yeah.
And the Georgia Guidestones, what do they tell us? That they want to get rid of at least
depopulation. That's right.
Yeah, Yeah. You know, I don't know how they plan to do it. And once they've gotten rid of the ethnic Europeans, nothing will move. Nothing.
No, nothing will. There won't be any progress after that. That's ridiculous. I mean, have they thought this through, really? I mean, I don't think so.
You really question yourself, what is in their mind? The people who think they're smarter than anybody else, you know? I really hope it backfires.
It just seems like there are some of these globalists who are running the show are just insane and reckless, and they just want to destroy everything, and they really don't even care if they destroy themselves in the process. That's what it seems like, anyway.
Exactly. And I mean, the Indians were the best example of honoring nature. Yeah? And nature, if we do not honor nature and if we don't treat it properly, it will punish us for not doing it.
And I would clarify, when we say Indians, white people were Indians too, right? White people were pagans, and we were tribal, and we lived off the land, and we did all those things before too.
Yeah, and then I said that yesterday too. Religions came and religions ruined everything, even though I must say the Catholic Church kept a lot of intellectual material that we wouldn't have if it wouldn't have been for the nuns and for the these religious people. But at that time, they weren't that religious that they tried to change the whole world. But when you think of the Anglo-Saxons who were forced into the Christian religion, then you question yourself, you know, how far can religion go? I might believe in God and in Jesus Christ, but religion has ruined a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about that a lot. And unfortunately, Christianity has become very, you know, multicultural. They're preaching open borders. We're all God's people, you know, so that's unfortunate. It wasn't always that way, but it's become that way. Whereas before, a lot of our pre-Christian ancestors, they valued tribe and home, and they had their sovereign nations of that time, and they had their own folk traditions and beliefs and mythologies. And I mean, that's what we love to talk about here at Red Ice.
And that's what's taken from the people. And of course, when you, you know, like in the States, you've got a hodgepodge, you know, and the people really, as you said, you had said it before, is that they have no more roots. This is why, like, as I got back to the States, I was totally surprised that people are into searching for their roots.
Yeah, because they've been so cut off from it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's exciting, though. There's a lot of people that they want to get their DNA tests there. They want to ask their family where they're from. I mean, that's good. We should revitalize that.
Definitely, definitely. And I think the Europeans, as small as we are, if we do not fight for our existence, no, we have to fight for our existence. There's no whens, buts, no. We need to fight for our existence. We need to fight for our children. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's your children or the neighbor's children, our children. Yeah, and we need to give them the strength to be proud of their heritage.
Correct. Well, Birgit, yeah. I think this is a great place to leave it for this time, but I'd love to have you back again in the future. Thank you so much for your time and your perspective. I'm so great we connected, and I'm surprised I didn't know about you before, but it's been fantastic.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch.
It's important to not become gloom and doom when looking at the current situation. Anything can be reversed. There are millions of good folks on our side. Europe has survived through numerous dark times, and it will not end here. It's also important to remember that elites, together with the mainstream media, lie in order to make it seem like the majority is with them. I'd also agree with Birgit that elections can be tampered with. But regardless, more and more people are coming to our side. This is far from over. Look at how much nationalism has grown in the last 2 years. It's because of people like you and I getting folks engaged and on board. The worse things get, the easier it will be, and the more swift the reaction and solution will also be. I'd love to see more people Birgit's age defying the system and speaking out. We need the wisdom of our elders. If you're retired, what do you have to lose? Go out with a bang. Think about your grandchildren's future and the kind of world you want to leave them. A big thanks to our members who make what we do possible. Please support us by signing up for a membership at redicemembers.com, where you'll receive access to exclusive content. We do need your support so we can bring on more people and continue to grow. We're ad-free, have no sponsors, and do not monetize, all because of Red Ice members and donators. You are all family to us, and we love and cherish you all. We're still rebuilding our members' website after the attack, so it's not 100% done yet, but the important thing is all our content is available now. Stay tuned for many more interviews and videos, and for members, we have Weekend Warrior, Hour 2 of Red Eye shows, other exclusive videos, and we have an upcoming Ask Us Anything only for members. Send a question via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Be strong, stay positive, and see you on the next one.